You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Welcome to the Alouettes Flight Deck podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football. I'm Tim Kapper, along with Cliffy Day. Howdy, howdy. Let's get rowdy. Hey. What's up?
Hey now. All right. Tim, how can you not be excited? We are deep in the heart of minicamp season in the Canadian Football League, which just means one thing. We are getting that much closer to the season getting underway. And quite frankly, I can't wait.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say we're deep, deep in Sprinter.
No.
Actually, the day that we're taping this, it is not Sprinter. It's not winter. It's not spring. I hope today was not just our only day. I hope today wasn't just our summer. Happy summer. No. Now it's fall tomorrow.
As someone on Facebook once coined, I'm really looking forward to the summer. I hope it falls on a weekend this year.
That's nice. But yes, we're getting closer and closer to minicamp. Minicamp had just passed, which we'll talk about. Some signings, even though, you know, free agency signings this late. Sure, why not? I'll take it, especially the names that we're getting. And It's all the lead up to training camp, you know, being held in Montreal for the very first time at the Big O. So, a lot of things on the agenda, plus a town hall next week.
Yes.
Town hall. Season ticket holders, if you haven't done it already, make sure you get you reserve your spot by printing out your ticket on your ticket account. So, that's being held at La Grande Bibliothèque. That should be interesting. I've never been there. You?
I can't say that I have. I've been to, and again, for the rest of Canada, the word bibliothèque is French for library. So I've been to the libraries in my past, but I've never been to this particular one.
Eyes can read.
Yeah. They have picture books there.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So bring us up. We do have a guest this week. It came out of nowhere, which I'm very happy that we were able to get him on the show on such short notice. But we had mini camp this week, and it was I think it was just the offense this year, time for everybody with, you know, just I guess used to each other, considering that, you know, new coaching staff, new head coach, new OC. I mean, we only got to see, you know, bits and pieces of it that the Owls did on social media, including some really interesting and off the cuff interviews from player to player. You know, Sutton and who did it? Who did the one with Sutton on Facebook and on Twitter? Who did that? Stefan Logan. Hilarious. Yes. Hilarious. I know we didn't see much, but what was your take that you saw from training camp? And then we will get to our guest Alouettes quarterback Matt Schiltz.
Yes, indeed. As far as minicamp goes, I mean, it's so hard to really judge what's going to be happening in regards to that, because it's not everything. It really is primarily the offensive stars that you're going to see there. There's a little bit of D work that's being done there, but for the most part, it's just the offensive, which I'm kind of curious to see how these players are going to react to the playbook, essentially, that Kahari Jones has drawn up for the Alouettes. From everything that I've heard and seen so far, it looks like it went over pretty well. I think a lot of the new faces that are showing up, getting to interact with a lot of the established veterans, if you will. I think it's going to make for a very interesting season, that's for sure. As far as the actual camp goes, like I said, we haven't really been given a whole lot to go with, but we definitely know that the new stars are there. They got their first chance to actually be Alouettes for the first time. So I think it's going to be interesting, that's for sure. So I'm looking forward to our chat later on with our new friend Matthew Schiltz, get his thoughts on what transpired in Florida the last week, and I think it'll be a really eye-opening experience for Alouettes fans.
Sure. Now, did you find that that there is anything that can hurt the Owls from having their mini camp first? And they really, really had it early, and it was only because of, I think, because of other things that were scheduled for Coach Sherman. I guess it's only mini camp. I get that, but do you think that can hurt the Owls in any way? Because I think the next one didn't occur until maybe a week or week and a half later. For the other teams that started going down to Florida.
Yeah, I don't think it really makes a huge difference, to be honest with you. I think a lot of people sort of look at Coach Sherman participating in this other football league where I'm wondering, like, is that a conflict of interest, or is that going to take away from his duties with the Alouettes? And quite frankly, I don't think so. I think a lot of what you're going to see this year is Sherman leaning on his assistants, the guys that have CFL experience, guys like Kahari Jones, Khalil Carter. Like, I think those guys are the ones that are really going to be the architects, if you will, of this Alouettes team. And Sherman's just going to be there to offer up his expertise, offer up his knowledge, if you will, as far as the X's and O's go. And I think that's what minicamp really focuses on more than anything else. You leave that to guys like Jones and Carter, and I'm sure they'll be more than fine with that. So I don't think Coach Sherman participating in this other league, I don't think it really makes a huge difference one way or another.
Because I think they really made, you know, where the story was, I think, Mike, was it on Third Down Nation? I don't think it made the local paper. But there seemed to be that there may be some conflict that maybe, you know, with why. How can a head coach do this type of thing when you are a new head coach in a new league, et cetera? Why take that time and, you know, not center on the task at hand? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure it could be, you know, all for the better, for all we know. The Owls could easily pick, you know, if the Owls could get a player out of this league, I don't even know much about it, but I mean, it's, you think it was just blather, just trying to make it something out of nothing?
I think so. I mean, again, this team went 3-15 last year. They're going in a new direction this year. I think it's pretty evident that, again, whether Coach Sherman is the long-term solution for the Alouettes or not as head coach, only time's going to tell. There's so much that's unknown right now. And at this point, all you can do is speculate. Is it an unusual kind of career path to go for a head coach in the Canadian Football League? Absolutely. But who knows? Like you said, if we can probably get something out of this, if there is a benefit to having your head coach sort of participate in this other smaller league or whatnot, then I guess time will tell. I really wish I had a better answer for it, because again, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this before in the Canadian Football League, so it's really hard to say if it's going to work or not. So I personally hope it does, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm just going to let the chips fall where they may, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. That's it. For all we know, you know, it'll stir the juices up a little bit more. I mean, as I said, it's not on team time. Everything was scheduled around it. So, it happened during the off season. We heard the names about it, but the Alouettes actually picked up a pretty good damn player, which is funny, which had been on our team prior, didn't we?
Yeah, the Alouettes seemed to have a bit of a theme going to signing players, releasing players, and then eventually inviting them back for the 2018 season. We saw that earlier when free agency got started. We saw the return, if you will, of Dominique Ellis and Mitchell White to the Alouettes. And just a couple weeks ago, another former Alouette made his grand return in the highly sought after Henoch Mwamba.
Yep.
After being wined and dined by a few teams, most notably Winnipeg, where he actually started his CFL career. Turns out Henoch weighed in all of his options and decided that the Alouettes were the team that he wanted to hook up his trailer to. And I'm personally very excited to see Henoch back, because I definitely think he's a phenomenal player. I think the potential for him to really be a leader on this defense is terrific. And as much as we're going to miss Kyrese Bear in that middle linebacker position, I think Henoch Mwamba is a pretty good replacement as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you think? I mean, I'm sure everybody's made a thing about how much money the Alouettes have spent. Were they overspent? Were they overpaid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we just go back to our conversation before that we had a couple weeks ago, you know, with David Sanchez, and he expressed, you know, what we were thinking here too. Is it, but you know, it sometimes you have to pay the players to come. Sometimes they will come for less money. I think we've had that case a couple times here in Montreal, and I think this year too. It, you know, if we can just get better, if he's more of a fit now for the team, Cliff, then, you know, all the better for us. You know, any time that we can make an improvement to this team and make an improvement off of that 3-15 record, you got to try to do something, right?
Mm-hmm. And I've been saying the name of the game right now is get younger. And essentially that's what the Alouettes did. I mean, like I said, we've got nothing but love for Kyrie's, but I mean, his 30s are coming to a close, whereas Henock still hasn't hit 30 yet. So if you're able to replace an elite player with another elite player who's a good, quick math, what, 7 years younger? To me, that's a win all day long. And again, as far as I can tell, the Alouettes didn't blow their brains out to sign him. They've got him under contract now for 3 years. He's still making a good salary, which national players are going to do. And let's not forget that he is a national player.
That's right.
So ratio breaker all day long. I mean, this defense is getting stronger and has a very Canadian flavor to it. I'm all for that. I'm all for that all day long. So I'm very, very excited to see Henock back in the Alouettes colors, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to do in this 2018 season.
Yeah, should be fun. I said it's once we get to training camp, I'm sure we're going to see a lot more. We're going to see a lot more, and it's coming up, man. It's coming up.
Can't just say, like, we're in mini camp season right now. In a couple weeks, the CFL draft, and then a couple weeks after that, boom, training camp underway.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting too. And I'm glad you brought that up. You know, there have been rumors and talks, and it's like, are the Owls going to keep their number one pick? I think there's a story the other day in the paper with our GM Kavis Reid, and talking about who possibly the Owls could get in for their number one. If they do keep their number one pick and do make the pick, it could be very interesting. Do you think it'd be a huge game changer for somebody for this year? Cliff, I mean, or do you think it's something whereas I think the Alouettes will pick somebody who can start now rather than somebody who is possibly going to go to the NFL, possibly try with the NFL first? Because with all honesty, I always find that those picks in the Canadian draft seem to be a little bit of a waste.
Sometimes. And there's definitely a lot of good young talent this year. Like, we saw quite a bit at the Combine that there's a lot of players that could start right away and will definitely be impactful. But at the same time, there hasn't been like that super stud that has drawn a lot of attention from down south. So I'm sure a couple of them will get looks, and maybe even a couple might even go so far as to be signed by NFL teams as undrafted free agents. So, I mean, that kind of puts you in a bit of a holding pattern as well if you're the Alouettes, because, yeah, you probably have your eyes set on one or two particular players, but if they've got the talent that could potentially translate to down south, yeah, you definitely don't want to spend your first overall pick on a guy that's going to end up in an NFL training camp a couple months later. So that's always the risk, naturally. But I think of the players that are out there, the ones that really stood out, I think they can definitely start right away on a CFL team. I don't know if they would necessarily get the look that they would from an NFL team. So I'm not too concerned in that regard, but I'm definitely curious to see where Montreal is going to go with it. I mean, I've got my thoughts on it, and in the coming weeks, definitely before the draft, we'll sit down and we'll talk about it with you good fans as well. I definitely think that there is some players out there, draft-ready players, that will definitely be able to give it a chance to shine, and I definitely think would look absolutely great in Alouette's colors. So I'm really excited to see where Kavis and the rest of the scouting team is looking, what they've got in mind, and that's it. I just hope they make the right choices. That's all there is to it.
And we'll have to visit that. You know, either right after the draft or right as we near training camp should be very interesting. Reminder again, like I said before at the beginning, the Alouettes are going to be holding a town hall, which Cliff and I will be attending. It is going to be on Friday, May 4th. Would be smart if I knew the actual date. Yeah, Friday, May 4th at 7 o'clock at La Grande Bibliothèque. If you are an Alouette season ticket holder, you should have received a notice in your email already. If you haven't, make sure you do call your season ticket representative so you can get in on that actually, it may also, as I said before, it may also already be in your online ticket manager. So log over to Alouettes.com and to sign in. Supposedly, we are going to have a first look at our head coach. One-on-one, except with the press.
Oh, there you go.
So it should be fun. We'll see what comes of it, and we'll report back. I'm sure we'll be active on social during that night, Cliff. I'm sure. So we're talking
absolutely.
About, yeah, so we're talking about mini camp before, we were lucky enough, as I said, to have Matthew Schiltz with us. Let's get him on the line let's hear what he has to say. Montreal Alouettes 2018 season is quickly coming upon us, and what better way to start getting to know who our players are this year and what type of team we're going to have is to talk with our players. On the line with us now, we have a guy who is looking to become a major part of the Montreal Alouettes offense in 2018. On the line with us now is quarterback Matthew Schiltz. Welcome, sir.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
So I have to ask this one question. You started Butler. You had a great senior season. What is it like being at a university, a major university, where it seems like everybody only talks about basketball recently? Do you find that as a player in college, was that a plus for you because you're able to do your thing?
I don't know, a little bit. You know, there's definitely positives and negatives. A lot of people see that, the Butler basketball team gets a lot of recognition, and rightfully so. They've had tremendous success. And, you know, everyone on the Butler basketball team, from players to coaches to staff, have been great in my time there, and, you know, nothing but class and top notch. And, but at the same time, you know, in the community in Indianapolis and some other places, you know, there's definitely support in the football team. We had good crowds, and it's a fun stadium to play at. It's a great place to be. And, we try and give back to the community as much as we can during the season and in the off season.
Right.
I'm really thankful for all my time there, and obviously giving me the opportunity to play football.
Now, speaking of just that, what got you into football, Matt? I mean, what really made you say, you know what, I want to be a football player?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to pinpoint one specific thing back in the day, but growing up, I played a lot of different sports, and in hockey and football. I played baseball, and then later in my high school career, I ran track a little bit. But I think growing up, I was a big 49er fan, and I have no reason why. I grew up in Chicago, but watching Steve Young and a little bit of Jerry Rice, and then getting into like the Garrison Hurst days, and to be honest, I probably just love their gold and red uniforms, but it just stuck with me from there, you know, having a Steve Young jersey and kind of watching them every Sunday and not really having a reason to cheer for them, but just enjoying it and going out in the backyard with my dad and playing catch or, learn how to throw the football. And I just loved it from an early age, to be honest.
You're speaking my language, Matt. I've been a 49ers fan for 25 plus years.
Oh, okay.
Man, the names you're rattling off, I mean, that was my youth right there. I mean, like, so I, man, that's, you've already won me over, man.
I've yet to get out to San Fran to see a game, but, it's been a little tougher following them, you know, as you start playing and, they're kind of your peers now, right? So it's a little tough to keep up with it, you know, when you're trying to compete and play on a professional team yourself, but definitely still follow them. And, you know, I'm excited for their season as well.
All right. Let's get into why we brought you on here. Mini camp was last week. Just for the fans that weren't fortunate enough to get down to Florida to see the Alouettes in action, kind of run through quickly what was going over as far as you're obviously meeting a new coaching staff for the first time. And a lot of it's mostly offensive players there. So kind of take us through what the camp was all about as far as what you guys had gone through, what your meetings with the coaching staff was like. Just take us through a basic rundown of what mini camp was for you guys.
Yeah. So we got in, it was 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And, Monday you're able to get in and meet some of the new staff and some of the new teammates and, really kind of mesh in that first meeting. And, throughout the 3 days, you kind of do a little bit of an install. I mean, this is on the offensive side of the ball. I'm sure defense was pretty similar, but, go over some of the, basic things that you're going to be installing and applying towards training camp in terms of, personnel groupings, formations, you know, terminology, and then dig deeper a little bit into concepts and all that, and kind of put it all together as the meeting goes. And I know you only have a certain amount of time between meetings and practices. But you just kind of go out and compete and show what you learned in the meeting room, and do a little bit of indie drills, throw some routes with receivers, kind of see how they're looking, and in terms of speed with the new guys, and you know, coming out of breaks, and you know, the angles that they're coming out of, and just the timing, and getting that back from last year after being away for these past few months. So it was really good. I'm happy with everything I saw there. You know, we really improved each day, and that's kind of how you judge these kind of mini camps here. And you go out and compete Monday, and you really want to see those improvements on Tuesday, then into Wednesday on the last day. So I'm really happy with what I saw as a player, as a quarterback. And I love seeing everybody out there, and everybody looked great.
How was it with having a new offensive coordinator this year with Kahari Jones? I mean, how different was he from the plays and stuff that you were taught and shown at minicamp this year compared to what you had to use last year?
Yeah, I mean, a new offensive coordinator, it was great to finally meet him in person. And, you know, I've heard a lot of great things. And obviously he had success in the league as both a player and a coach. So he brings a great football mind into the locker room, into the – you know, onto the team. And, you know, of course there's going to be different terminology, a little different lingo, and, you know, how, you know, maybe different plays are read, or, you know, the progressions and everything. But, at the end of the day, it's still a lot of the similar concepts, similar things that, that you see in the CFL. And, you know, it's just good to meet them and get that work in, and, you know, develop that foundation and build on into the future, into training camp, and, you know, into the season.
What do you think so far of your first impressions of seeing Josh Freeman in minicamp, as far as he's predominantly an NFL quarterback and now trying his hand at CFL, comparing him with Drew Willey, who has a wealth of CFL experience, and then, of course, yourself and the other younger quarterbacks. What were your impressions of how he performed in camp versus how, I guess, the rest of the quarterbacks did?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, he did good. A lot of the quarterbacks did good. And, you know, it's a really talented group, you know, at that position. In my eyes, just from what I saw there, it's, you know, it's hard to single out one person when you know that you're going to have to go in and compete every day with, you know, some guys that have great professional resumes. You know, I know you mentioned Drew and Josh, and then some of the younger guys too that are coming from a lot of success at the collegiate level. So I know there's going to be a battle at that position, and you know, there's going to be battles at a lot of different positions. But at the end of the day, that makes everyone work harder, and you know, I think that's a good thing. You know, the coaches are going to coach and the players are going to play. And at the end of the day, you know, you trust that they're going to make the right decision on who's going to be out in the field, and you go out and support them. So, you know, I think they both look great, and, you know, I'm excited to work with them moving forward.
There were seven quarterbacks at minicamp this year. And of the seven, you, Drew Willey, and Antonio Pipkin were the only ones who had CFL experience. What have you learned as a, because you played in, I think it was four games last year, had starts in a couple. Mm-hmm. What are you taking forward to this year when training camp starts to make Matt a better quarterback and to compete to possibly be the starter for the Montreal Alouettes in 2018?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. You know, you do learn a lot in that first year as a rookie. And, you know, I did feel a little bit, more comfortable, you know, even in this mini camp, just having that year of experience, you know, both in the locker room, knowing how the game is played, you know, knowing how we travel, and, you know, knowing just the little ins and outs of it. You know, it takes away that little bit of uncertainty that you have as a rookie. And, you know, that is something that you have to go through and that you have to battle. And, you know, I think after that, you know, taking those lumps, if you will, of not necessarily knowing everything or still learning everything, you're going to come out better on the other side of it. I'm not saying that your rookie year is the only year you're going to learn things, but, you know, the big things that I kind of learned last year was just the pace of play and like like the flow of the game. Right. You know, it is a lot different than the American game with the 20-second play clock and the motion and the extra guy in the field and just those little rules and little differences that you may read the defense a little bit differently than, you know, in college and the American game versus the Canadian game with the 12 guys, and they can show you a little bit different looks and a little bit different concepts. And so high level, that was really the big thing that I was able to then apply to this mini camp after learning from last year. And then, you know, on a personal level, like a training level, it's really just about working those little drops, and you're going to have to be able to change things up on the fly a little bit. You know, whether you're going to be taking a 5-step drop and throwing a, you know, 18-yard comeback route. If you see something on the defense, you may need to change that up in the middle of the drop and take three and get the ball out of your hand if right. they're bringing pressure, something like that. You know, just things that I kind of learned last year in practice that I could then apply during the off season and kind of work on that and grow. And, you know, if the situation presented itself and then you can feel a little bit more comfortable making that throw or taking that drop or, you know, doing those sorts of things. And then on top of that, it's, you learn in the film room a lot. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I learned obviously in college, but, you know, at the professional level, it's even more. And, you know, just the little things on body position for receivers coming in out of breaks and, you know, alignments where they are in the field and just spacing and route concepts. So, and when you kind of watch the film after those mini camp practices, you know, I'm able to even add in some things just after that 1 year of learning in my rookie year. So that's something I really couldn't do last year, especially in mini camp or training camp, just because I've never experienced that before. Right. So, then obviously as the year goes on and you get that play experience, you're able to kind of apply things and, you know, tell the receivers certain things that you see and how it may look different from each person's perspective. But, so those are the things that you really kind of learn and grow into as you experience the CFL game. And fortunately enough, I was able to experience that a little bit last year, and, looking forward to hopefully being able to do that a little bit more.
Good stuff. Really quick, talk to us about your off-season workout regimen, or as far as training goes. Are you working with any other players, or what basically are you doing besides minicamp to prepare yourself for the upcoming season?
Yeah, definitely. I took a few weeks off there and right after the season and just kind of let the body rest. And I don't know if you guys know, I was an accounting major in college, and when I got my call to come up to minicamp last year, I was working my accounting job and had a couple CPA exams done. So I actually finished those up right after the off season, my last two CPA exams while I was still working out. So it'd kind of be studying in the morning and then, you know, almost like a class, and then, working out in the morning and then, you know, studying in the afternoon and at night, and then just kind of repeating that for a couple months. And then, really started picking up heavy, you know, in January with throwing and running and lifting. And my big goal was to kind of add some weight. I know I was kind of light last year, so, you know, I'm confident in that, you know, I put in that work and was able to put on about 10 to 12 good pounds there. And, obviously keep my conditioning and my cardio that, you know, if you need to make plays on your feet, you got to still be able to move. So, I've been working out in Indianapolis at Butler still with some of my strength coaches from my college days, and some former players that are in the area and some guys that are still around here. So it's been nice to throw with them. And I know a couple other players are in the area, so we've tried to meet up a little bit, like with Antonio, and he's up in northern Indiana. So I know we're trying to schedule a couple other throwing sessions later before we head back for training camp. So, I mean, I'm really happy with the off season, you know, just on a personal level. I feel like I've accomplished a lot of my goals that I set out for, and still got another month to clean up a few more things and hit training camp running.
Now, by the way, did you finish and did you get your, did you finish school and get your degree?
Yeah. I finished my degree. I actually got a double major there in accounting and MIS, and then, fortunately enough, I just got my letter the other day in the mail from before that I passed, you know, those two other exams. So I got all those CPA exams finished. Nice. So, you know, on a business professional level that way, I can hang my hat on that. But it's always been football that I wanted to do. And, you know, I didn't let that get in my way of training and preparing for this season.
I have to ask, what is MIS?
It's Management Information System.
Oh, okay.
So it's a lot of like like technical computer design and systems analysis, stuff like that.
Okay. So far, of all the players that you've had that have been your teammates over the past 1+ years, who has given you the best bit of advice that you will remember?
Oh, wow. So hard to single out one player. Geez, you know, I was able to play with so many great guys last year in the locker room. You know, we had a lot of veterans and that have experienced a lot of things. And guys like, I mean, Darian and, you know, Nick, Drew coming in. And, I mean, you name it. I could go down the list or go right around the locker room. You know, you do spend a lot of time with the guys in the quarterback room, you know, and last year, a lot of that was with Drew and Darian and, you know, Coach Calvillo. And, you know, those are three solid names to be surrounded by, you know, as a rookie. And, being able to pick their brain, you know, kind of, and just take things, you know, how they see plays, how they read defenses, and, you know, how it may be a little bit different in one of their eyes, or if they've seen it a little bit different at a different team that they've been at. But so it was interesting seeing their perspectives on the different things we were running, or, you know, on different defenses and how to attack certain defenses. So, you know, that's something that I'll be able to kind of take with me and hold on to, and then hopefully pass it down to the younger guys once, you know, once that time comes. But it was definitely a good experience last year being around those three in the locker room and in the meeting rooms. So
cool.
All right. Now, obviously, Matt, last year wasn't exactly the ideal situation for anyone associated with the Alouettes, whether they were players working for the team themselves or even the fans in the stands. It was definitely not the season that everybody had hoped for. What have you been able to take professionally as a positive from what happened last year, and how are you planning to apply it this year towards the 2018 season?
Yeah, you know, you kind of hit it on the head. You know, we had a tough season, and, you know, that's nothing that can be hidden or covered up, and it's definitely not how we expected it to go or how we wanted it to go. But like you said, it's time for us to kind of move forward and bounce back as a team and focus on the 2018 campaign. And, you know, as a professional being in your first year and going through that, it kind of motivates you even more. And, you know, a lot of the guys in the locker room are hungry, and a lot of them, you know, still want to prove that campaign last year isn't who we are as players, you know, who we are as a team, or who we are as people, right? So you know, learning that your rookie year, it kind of gets you motivated, and, you know, keeps that in perspective that, yeah, you're going to face some struggles, you might face a tough stretch here, but it's all about how you respond to it. And you know, we're looking forward to responding in a positive way this season, and you know, going out there and showing that that's not who we are, and that we're here, that the Alouettes franchise is still strong, and, you know, we're going to do everything we can to go out there and prove that this year.
So as your time as a player, you know, you spent a lot of time with your fellow players, a lot of time on the road. Being in the CFL, so what has been the city that has stood out for you the most? I mean, if you say Montreal, hey, we'll take that too.
But
if it is.
But hey, yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely Montreal, to be honest with you, completely honest. Montreal has been, you know, the best city that I've seen, and probably because I got to spend the most time there, you know, living there during the season. But there really are great cities in Canada, whether it be out west in Vancouver and Calgary. I was able to travel to those cities and see those stadiums, and I was able to make it to Toronto for our preseason game, and obviously then Hamilton there at the end of the year. So there's still a few more cities I still need to get to, but to be honest with you, Montreal has been great. You know, I love the people, I love the culture, love the history, you know, all the architecture, and of course all the food that you get to eat. So they definitely treat you right during the year, and you know, living there definitely helped. But in terms of the away cities, you know, I did like Vancouver, you know, being there by the ocean and the mountains. And you see Calgary, I have family out in Denver, and it really reminded me of Denver being in that city. So, you know, it's been great being able to travel all around and see the different cities. But hopefully Montreal will be home for a long time. And, you know, I've really grown to like it so far. So
something tells me, though, with you're talking about food, that it really can't help with your daily regimen. That I'm sure if you want to stick to a specific diet, what has been your guilty pleasure when it comes to food in Montreal?
Oh, man. See, the good thing is when you're trying to gain weight, you know, trying to gain weight for me and that high metabolism, I'm able to kind of pig out every now and then with no remorse. But let's see.
Nice.
The smoked meat has been great. Amazing. I really like some of the spots in old Montreal. You know, there's I forget the name of the place. I think it's called the Nelligan Rooftop. Kind of right there in old Montreal. That was beautiful. You know, get some charcuterie boards and some pasta and some different things there. And then, you know, I really can't go wrong with the poutine if you're really feeling it.
There you go.
But it's been some good stuff there, and obviously a lot of the potatoes and, you know, fries and that. So been able to make it to a few festivals and over there on St. Cat's, which have been good. Just, you know, I think the Jazz Fest was going on last year when we had some free time and just a few other things. So I love trying new things. So if you guys have any recommendations, definitely let me know.
I was about to say, where did you have your poutine from? Because I know Cliff is, I think Cliff's a connoisseur of the stuff, and I'm sure he'd want to know.
I honestly forget the name of the place that we went to. I had a couple of friends up visiting, and, you know, I don't recall. I know right where it is. It's right off of, St. Catharines. It's a little outdoor place. I'll look up the name and try and get it to you guys. But okay. Like I said, if you have any recommendations, I'll definitely take them. I'm a big food junkie when I'm back home, too, so... definitely let me know.
Sure.
Yeah. Not a worry, Matt. I'll make sure you get all the good places you got to hit up. If you haven't hit them up already, I'll make sure that you're well taken care of in that regards.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that. That's what I need.
So I'm curious, why number 18?
So it fell into my lap in college. I wore 15 in high school. My older brother wore 15. Then I kind of wore it, after he graduated, and then 18 was the closest number to 15 when I got to Butler my freshman year. And then, you know, the jokes and about, you know, Peyton Manning being 18 in Indianapolis, and just kind of joking around that freshman year with some family and some guys on the team. And then it just kind of stuck, and fell in love with the number, to be honest with you. And it's good. I mean, the number doesn't necessarily mean everything, and it's not going to decide how you're going to play, but honestly, it just kind of came to me in freshman year of college and stuck with it ever since.
I can understand, because I noticed that Butler's colors are blue and white, not the quite same shade of blue as Indy, as Colts, but I can see the comparisons. I can see why people might start thinking a little bit.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Peyton's had, I mean, unbelievable Hall of Fame career. So if I could ever get to that level one day, then I'll be happy.
Nice. So what's it going to be like this year, having a training camp actually in Montreal? Because you were just talking about Montreal before and how much you like the city. Mm-hmm. How much is it going to compare to being here, I guess, at home, so to speak, than being out in over at Bishop's?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm excited to be in Montreal. I love it. I love the fact that we're going to be able to be close to home and kind of in that, you know, quote unquote comfort zone, if you will. But, you know, there's really two things when I think about it, and that, you know, going away to Sherbrooke at Bishop's, and, you know, it's kind of nice to get away, and with some people that are new to the city, you kind of eliminate some distractions. I mean, heck, even people that are, you know, accustomed to the city, you still get to eliminate some of those distractions and get away and focus on football and have it be on your mind. I mean, literally 24/7, you know, you're staying in the dorms out there and talking football, living with your football teammates. And so that part would be an adjustment. But then at the same time, you get to be in Montreal and, you know, you get the fans that are in the city, and they can come out and support us at practice and kind of get some more interaction and engagement that way. So, you know, there's going to be positives and negatives to both, but at the end of the day, we're going to be having training camp at one place or another, you know, so it's our job just to go out there and compete and play and, you know, put our resume on tape and get ready for the season. But I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, I can't wait to have some fans there that are, you know, in Montreal that may not have been able to make it out to Sherbrooke. And hopefully the fans that were in Sherbrooke can get out to Montreal a little bit too and see the city and see our practice. So I'm really excited for it and just ready to get back and compete.
Nice. And I know Cliff. I know Cliff. Want to ask a last question to wrap us up? I have to at least ask Matt. How is your French?
Comme ci, comme ça, je ne parle pas français. That's been my go-to line. You know, I don't really speak French a whole lot, but, you know, I spent a lot of the time just trying to learn the playbook. So hopefully next offseason I can focus on it a little bit more and get a little bit more comfortable on it. But it's actually funny you said that, just because, you know, as you spend more time in the city, you know, you're there for 6 months, you know, by month five or six, you're able to kind of have some of those basic conversations, whether it's in the Uber or ordering food and, right, and stuff like that. But it's tough when you don't get to practice it, you know, 12 right. months out of the year.
Yeah. Or calling Pinoff Metro Station Pi 9.
Pi 9. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So I'll definitely make sure get to joke around with the rookies a little bit there. And hopefully they'll be calling it Pinoff sooner rather than later.
That's awesome. Well, Matt, we won't keep you too much longer. Just wanted to thank you again for participating in this. I guess last thing I really want to ask, though, is obviously every player's goal coming into training camp in the CFL is to make it to the Grey Cup. There's no question about that. But aside from that, aside from wanting the team to do well and everything like that, do you personally have any goals for 2018 that you've set for yourself that you want to reach?
Yeah, I mean, of course, like you said, obviously at the top of the list is the Grey Cup and really making that 180 from last year, like we were talking about before. But, you know, on a personal level, I think every athlete is going to sit there and tell you, whether they've been a starter in the past or a backup in the past, is that they're going to go out and their goal is to be the starter at their position. And, you know, it's no different for me. I'm ready to go out there and compete. And, you know, I don't expect anything to be handed to me. I haven't from times in high school to college. You know, I've always had that mentality that I got to go earn it every day, whether I'm a backup or a starter. And there's always going to be someone that is going to be pushing you to do that. And, you know, that's definitely what my goal is. And, you know, if that goal isn't reached, then you just kind of adjust it and you then do whatever you can to help the team win and, you know, support whoever that starter is going to be. But without a doubt, you know, that's my goal as a competitor, as a player. You know, you want to be out there with your team and out there playing and, like you said, work towards winning that Grey Cup. So, you know, whatever my role is at the end of the day, you're going to get me as an authentic player, authentic person, and someone that's going to try and lead and do everything I can to leave it all in the field every day, whether it's practice or at a game. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, like I said, we're excited to turn this thing around.
All right. Well, listen, you said it all right there. So that's fantastic. Where can we find you on social media, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff?
Yep. I'm on Facebook, just my name. And then my Twitter is M_S_ONE and then the number 8. So MS18. And then my Instagram is just BUONE and then the number 8. So BU18. Yeah, looking forward to interacting with you guys throughout the season and all the fans. I'm excited to see everybody out at the game and come up to me, say hi, and, you know, you'll get me. I'll sit there and talk with you. So looking forward to seeing you guys in person.
Yeah, that's cool.
There you go. Alouettes Nation, there you go. That is your guy. So shoot him a follow, get to know him. Come training camp time. It's in Montreal. You have no excuse. You got to get down there. You got to see Matt. You got to see the rest of the boys. That's all there is to it.
We greatly appreciate it, Matt. Thanks for your time.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
So it was nice to have Matt with us. If anybody, as we mentioned before, if you're going to be in training camp, make sure you come out. This will be the year, I think, to if you aren't a regular at training camp, being in Montreal, I think it makes I think the best situation for everybody, where you can go and meet your current players and hopefully the future Hall of Famers and future superstars. But it's nice to hear how a young quarterback, Cliff, talks about his experiences and how much he's learned and how humble a guy can be, even though he's a pro football player.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, Matt's definitely got a good head on his shoulders. You've heard how he's a pretty smart guy. He's gone to school, got a double major at Butler University, has a great football mind, as you can tell, just listening to him talk about football and how excited he is. And just the fact that he really wants to immerse himself in the culture here in Montreal. I mean, folks, what more do you need, quite frankly? I mean, this is the guy you're going to want to hitch your wagon to. This is the guy that is going to be a star in this league in due time. And you may as well get in on the ground floor, as far as I'm concerned. Like, yeah. you want to look for your next hero. You want to look for your next potential superstar. Well, there you go, Matthew Schultz, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
enough said.
So, if you have any comments or concerns, you want to let us know who maybe we should try and get this year, or in the next couple of weeks too. Just shoot us a line. You know, Cliff is on social media, as am I. Cliff's at CliffyD. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Repact, REPPACT. You can also obviously shoot us one for the Alouettes flight deck. It's Alouettes FL deck. We are on Facebook also. Just search for Alouettes flight deck. But other than that, Cliff, leading up next to our next show, anything you yourself got planned besides me seeing you next Friday?
Well, like I said, we've got the draft coming up. We'll definitely talk about that. Like I said, I've got a couple of names in mind. I'm really hoping the Alouettes look into those names and hopefully we'll announce those names. I can't overstate just how close we are to football finally returning. Like I said, the mini camps, they just give you like that little appetizer, that little taste of football. It reminds you, yeah, that's right. This is what I was been missing all winter long. And then it goes into the draft. And then next thing you know, training camp starts. I'm telling you folks, like, football season is upon us. So get ready. I'm definitely looking forward to another exciting season. Like I said, there's so many questions that have to be answered as far as how the Alouettes are going to do. I really want to believe that last year was just a blip on the radar, and going forward with this new coaching staff and some new players and all that, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing a new experience with the Montreal Alouettes. And it's going to start at training camp, like you said. It's going to be at the Big O this year. No more day trips out to Lennoxville or Sherbrooke. You just get to see your team in the city. Yeah. And quite frankly, that's what you have to look forward to, is being able to go live, see your team in its city, in its natural surroundings. It doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, you just got to take the metro to Pi 9, right?
Pi 9, baby.
All right. Well, contact us, guys, over social media if you have any questions. We'd be more than happy to hear from all of our fans from across the CFL Pod Network. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck floor, Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. We're on Final Approach.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.